Blog Talk Radio.
Dozen was down and cried for freedom or a brand new sound. New York, Chicago, Frisco, L.A.,
Justice was served and the unjust were afraid. Cause after all the years and all the fears, brothers were alive, the courage found, and spreading them goddamn blues around. Yeah, it make you wanna holler black people and hold up both your hands and say liberation.
Crime is increasing, and I'm sick of happy policing. Panic is spreading.
On Tribe Family Channel Literary Festival 2023, Season 5, Episode 6. Y'all ain't ready. Art mirrors life, and the poets that know it are here, and they are going to spit it. Tribe Family Channel, in association with Gumbo for the Soul Publications, is proud to have presented this week-long celebration of books, learning, and a love for reading. We invite you to listen in via 563-999-3778, or you can log on at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Tribe Family Channel and Gumbo for the Soul Publications are family brands of Gumbo for the Soul International.com, all rights reserved. I am privileged to bring so many authors and poets to this platform all week long. First and foremost, I would like to shout out to the previous authors, poets, and sponsors. Michelle A. Berard, CEO of Michelle A. Berard, LLC. Kathy Wright Lewis, Director of Power in the Pen, CEO, Look in Glass, LLC, and Lit for Life Language Learning, LLC. Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson, founder, CEO, publisher of Writing for the Lord Ministries. Amy Gorder, first-time author of Ghost of Autumn, a children's book, and first in the series of Gold Rush Ghosts. And tonight, or excuse me, one more, Demetra Davis, poet and CEO of Gordavi LLC, The Inner Circle. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to bring to the platform this phenomenal poet, first-time author of her upcoming book dropping 2023 entitled Evolution. Oh, y'all know we need an evolution. Don't play with me. That's why I came on with Gil Scott Harum, because it's going to be that type of party. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I am so honored to welcome Hyacinth Black to Tribe Family Channel. What is happening, Queen? How are you?
Hello, hello. Everything is good. Good evening.
Good evening. That's good. That's good. You know, I'm so honored to have you close out the show. It has been a week-long phenomenal celebration of reading, learning, and I've had some of the, you know, most gifted voices on this platform. But I'm especially excited to have you here because I know that you are a poet and you bring it hot and you know it. And the one thing that we have to do is when we're attempting to reach our kids and a generation, bringing knowledge and power, we have to speak truth to power, and we have to bring it. We have to bring it hot, and we have to bring it heavy. And these kids don't play. They will test your knowledge. They will test whether you care. And so that's why, with the fact that art mirrors life, and I know that your poetry that will be dropping in 2023 Evolution is going to speak to all of that. It's a whole new ball game, and it's a whole new era. So, Miss Black, we're going to start going way back. We're going to go way back. When did you first know? When did you first know that you were a poet? Was it during your elementary school years, your home life, or any type of outside affiliations like girls' clubs or organizations?
Lee, my love for poetry started 3 years ago. 3 years ago, when the pandemic started. I was in a dark place. I was frustrated with my life. I was stagnated. I was disappointed in myself. And I prayed to God, and I asked God to reveal to me what my gifts were. I kept asking him. I'm like, God, I know you got more for me. This is not it. Working a 9-to-5 is just not it for me. I have a brain. I need to utilize my brain. And that's how I started writing. I just started pouring out my feelings of past experiences and things that I went through, things that I've seen other people go through. So that's how I started. But Beverly, what I want to say is that my love for reading actually started when I was 8 years old. Because before that, I had a little stuttering problem. Like, I used to read and stutter a little bit, and this phenomenal woman, her name is Miss McKenzie, she helped me learn how to read properly. And after that, I started to love to read. I was around 7 years old. I've always loved to read, and my mom was an educator, so she made sure that I was always reading, I was always writing. She would, like, put me and my brother on punishment, and we would have to look up things in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and bring it to her. We would have to write reports. I used to write for my high school paper, and one of my teachers always encouraged me. I need you to expand more on your writing. I need you to give me more. Like, he really pushed me. And these people that I mentioned, they influenced me. So leading up to the 3 years ago, it just came out. It just came out when I started praying to God, and he revealed it to me, and I just started writing. And it leads me to this point.
You know, I just want to say that is phenomenal, and there is so much to unpack and comment about that. Yesterday's guest and I expounded on the phenomenal therapeutic benefits of journaling. And what I hear with you writing poetry and being in a dark space at the time and just pouring it out is that you were led through poetry to your healing and ultimately to where you are now with the different aforementioned people playing a part. Here again, art mirrors life, our feelings, our experiences, the society that we see around us and the people that we encounter. All of these things play a part, our personality, our character, the gifts that's planted inside of us. All of these things play a fundamental part in the makeup of who we are and what we will ultimately become. Art mirroring life, this is why I'm so thankful, like I said, to have you on the platform speaking truth to power. Now, also with the lady that you said that helped you get, you know, your reading up to par, paraphrasing, because we never know whose life we're pouring into. It is very important for us to be able to do what she did. And when we encounter children with learning challenges, it's up to us when we see something to say something. And what scares me about today's generation is that, like, let's go back to the pandemic, when this is one of the reasons why. And when you said my name, Beverly, I was reminded that I never told anyone who I am. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am Beverly Black. I'm the CEO of Tribe Family Channel. And I'm just honored that early on I was focused on literacy when I started this entity 20 years ago, Gumball for the Soul Publications. So back to when you see something in someone like the woman saw in you, and she brought it out of you, she poured into you, and I'm so concerned about the children back to the pandemic and being closed off from school, and the fact that we are in an era where our language has been broken down to, you know, acronyms and, you know, three-letter meanings, and pretty soon we'll have a generation that will not be able to identify full words, write complete sentences, read a book, compose a thesis, much less defend a dissertation. And so this is why it's so important for us to bring these types of platforms to the forefront and to use poetry, because, again, art mirrors life. And we want to allow different forms of expression to come into the play, to come into play when it comes to educating our children. And then fast forward to, you were saying, you know, this was as most recently as 3 years ago, but look at the impact that it's having on your life. 3 years ago, you started pouring out, you know, your poetry. Did you know 3 years later that you would be on a radio show talking about dropping your book Evolution in the same year?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because, honestly, I didn't think I was that great. I didn't think I was that great. I was like, I'm just writing. I got to get my feelings out. Like, please. Like, I'm tired of holding stuff in. And I was like, please, I'm just going to be writing. That's it. And it's, you know, that's how I was looking at it. I wasn't looking at it at first as, oh, I'm going to have a book and all of that. But then, as time went on, I said, maybe it's a possibility, you know, because you don't want to hype yourself up. You don't want to, you know, say, oh, I'm all of that. And then people be like, your stuff is not even all of that, girl, please. Like, I would like, you know, I'm like, I didn't want to hype myself up, basically. You know, I tried to just stay humble. So, you know, that's where my mind was.
And that's understandably so. We are our biggest critic.
Yes.
If we're not led by an ego, I know some pretty high egos out there, and, you know, they can't even take criticism. But, you know, I understand, and it's really, it's almost biblical when it comes to not hyping yourself up, being humble, allowing, you know, someone else to call you forward to that seat, that, you know, that front seat, rather than just marching through and sitting up front with all purpose and pompous. But what I will say is that you are living proof that we are all gifted with greatness. You didn't think that 3 years later you'd be on the radio talking about dropping your book Evolution in 2023, and you're not here to beat your own horn or, you know, toot your own horn. But I know you have a team working behind you, so I want to shout out to your publisher, unnamed right now, your manager, unnamed right now, but I know that there's a team behind you, and I know that it's their job to toot your horn. All you have to do is keep doing what you do. And see, this next piece is dedicated to those of us who have our ego in check. This sister right here, who I did communicate with in this new year, she's doing very well. You will know who she is as soon as she starts to spit. And we'll be right back after this.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built a sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pain created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present, when he was 3, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son Noah built Newark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intoned my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sowed diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal, I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
Evening, wherever you may be, is Hyacinth Black. She is a poet and a first-time author of her book, Evolution, which will be dropping this year. And we will be definitely looking at all of the social media platforms where she can be found so that we can stay in tune. Now, Miss Black, and for those of you listening online or by phone, if you have questions, you can always press 1 on your keypad, and we'll be happy to take any questions when we open up the phone lines. But for now, I want to go back to Miss Black, no relation for the audience, as I am Beverly Black. And I want to talk about the village that is appropriately responsible for raising the child, and that means all of us. But the village that you spoke of, you also mentioned your mother, who was an educator. And I would like for you to, expound further, because even though your mother was an educator, there was a village around you that played a part, such as the lady who you mentioned who got you up to par with reading. And so these are women that have played a part in the shaping of you as the whole person. And we as adults must play a part in the children that are coming up before us, you know, in front of our eyes, I should say, that are coming up after us. In their shaping, in their growth, in their knowledge. And so that is why we're having this literary festival. And next month we'll be back on February, beginning the first Monday in February, with the recipe for literacy in the Black community, which is the title of the first anthology out of Gumbo for the Soul Publications. So back to your mother, right, and the village that helped shape you. What are some of the, in your home growing up, what were some of the, expound on some of the elements that helped shape your education? My mother, for instance, I didn't like any of her books. Her genre was, sci-fi, romance, drama, and I couldn't stand any of that. I'm a nonfiction person. But the fact that she kept books around, and the fact that, you know, what you took my mind back to is encyclopedias, and we always had encyclopedias. We always had to write out, a book report. I raised four children, and they all had to do that. That's what I was raised on, writing, reading, and that was in our home life. What are some of the other elements that you can expound about for the parents that are listening that want to incorporate other things in the home life, especially post-COVID, that can help enhance their child's love for learning and reading?
Okay, so like I said, my mom was an educator, and my father, he also would buy me books. Books like I remember I had a book, and the book expounded on different countries, the different cultures. It was colorful. It was an easy read. It's like my father would bring me age-appropriate books that he knew that I would like. So he knew that I like colors. He knew that I like, you know, like different, learning different things. So he would bring me different kinds of books about different countries, books about brushing your teeth, you know, just different kinds of books. And then he would, after work, he would come over and he would make me read. Like he would sit me down and he would read with me. So that's one dynamic. And then my mom, like, she would make my brother and I read, but then if we did if we wanted to go outside and we did something naughty, she would say, "Oh, really? You're not listening? Go get the encyclopedia, go find something to write," or she would pick the subject and then she would say, "Write me a 2-page report on the subject, and I will decide if you can go outside or not," you know. And then I would have an attitude, of course. But then as I got older, my mom, she used to read Daniel Steele books. So I started reading those. So it came to me natural. It just came naturally to me. But as far as parents trying to get their children to read, you have to get something that they are interested in, or else they are not going to enjoy it. They are going to rebel, and they're going to say, "I don't want to read," you know. It has to be something that they like. If they like certain toys, maybe you can get books on how the toy was created. Who invented the toy? You know, things like that. You have to capture the children's attention because we have to remember that they're still children. So we have to go with their flow. We can't impose things on them because it's not going to make them learn. It's going to make them work. I know this because I used to work with children. I used to teach hygiene classes. I used to teach art. You know, I was a after school supervisor. I was in charge of an after school program. So these things I picked up. You have to keep the child engaged. The only way you will do that is if you provide things that are of interest to them. You got to keep it interesting. You got to keep it spicy. So that's my advice for the parents.
And that is excellent advice. Our guest, Amy Gorder, on Thursday, her feedback was high interest books. And this is what I'm hearing from you. You have to capture your child's interest. So we have to, as their parents, observe them to know what their interests are. We definitely have to give them that liberty of free expression. What you were saying as far as go to the encyclopedia and write me a report, it sounds like you have the freedom of expression of deciding what the report and the subject would be about. Is that right?
Yes, most times. Most times. But sometimes my mother would say, no, I'm going to give you something, right? Since you don't want to listen, I'm going to pick something now. Like, sometimes she would do it.
Okay, okay. Well, there are notches and levels to discipline, but, just really being able to get the exposure early on and allowing the child to broaden their perspective, broaden their world, bring different, like the books that you were saying, from different cultures and lands. And for me, I loved going to the library. My mentor right now is 85-year-old Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr. He is the leader of the Tugulu Nine, and on March 27, 1961, the Tugulu Nine breached the Jim Crow library system. And later on in school, I was 1.5 years old when they did that. So later on here on this platform, I would bring the members of the Tugulu Nine here, and we would become close friends to where now, you know, he is my mentor, my minister. I'm getting ready to go back to school due to his influence. And he will be here on Tribe Family Channel on January 15th, 2023, to honor his role model, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So I definitely want to throw that out there. But I want to say that back to the reason why I bring him up is because they breached the whites-only library system. For me to be able to check out books when I was growing up in the 60s, it had to not be a segregated library. And my passion for getting the books that you mentioned from other lands and cultures to broaden my perspective came through trips to the library. It also came through, I'm probably a lot older than you, but back in the day we had the children's monthly magazine called Highlight. And those would come free to the class or, you know, by mail order. But it was certainly not, you know, Dick and Jane and Spot and, Redfish, Bluefish, and Dr. Seuss. Of course, you know, that all came through the eras of time in our childhood. But the point is the village that's exposing and broadening the horizons, going back to your father, going back to your mother, going back to my mentor, going back to library visits and different books of different artists or, excuse me, different authors and genres that will expand a child's mind and help them have a broader view of the world other than what they see around themselves. So we're going to pause right here. This is going to be, did you have a comment before we take a pause? I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say, you said that in your time you had the highlight, what is the highlighter, the weekly reading booklet, the highlighter?
Yeah, you remember that book?
We
it was
had
like an 8.5 by 11 big book. It was a thin booklet.
We had something else. It was like that, but they called it the weekly reader. They called it the weekly reader. Yes, it's like the same thing, but they changed the name. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was very good. It was very good. It had puzzles in it, word solving. Mhm. It was good.
Little short stories.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember that. It was very, it was fun for me to get that every week. It was fun for me because it helped me expand my mind and know how to do puzzles and things like that. Yes, the weekly reader. It just snapped me into my, it just snapped some in my mind when you were talking about the hot. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well,
that helped too.
I'm sorry?
I said they need to bring that back into the school system.
You are so right about that. And I'm glad you remembered that and shared that, because now you reminded me that raising my children, and this would be another suggestion for the parents, is that do not overlook to order books for your children when the order forms come through their school. There is nothing more exciting than, you know, that child lights up, one, that they're even able to order a book. I don't care if I have to send it in. TribeFamilyChannel@gmail.com. You heard my voice. That's my suggestion. Those books cost $10 and under, and I don't even remember them being that much. And so if there's a need, and then we have so many authors, so many people that will donate child-friendly books. So hit us up at TribeFamilyChannel@gmail.com, and we'd be happy to help seed into and plant those gifts into your organizations and your classrooms for the children. It takes a village to raise a child. And now we are going to go ahead and take a brief break. This poem is called Here's Our Child, Where's the Village?
Here's our child. Where's the village? The village is the mother who God chose through which to birth to me. The village is the father that planted the seed. The village is you. The village is me. The village is the extended family. Through times when I was too weak to go on, the village was the ones that kept me strong. My mama that fought to keep my kids from being adopted, when she asked friends and family to keep them and they opted, going to court on their behalf when I couldn't appear, being there for birthdays and calming their fears. My mama was the village when I was sick and in my disease. When God delivered me, she helped provide for my needs. The village was the man who cared enough to help me when I got my kids back and tried to be a family. The village is the people who became a part of their lives. They too loved and cared for them and won't be denied. The village is the play cousins, play aunties and friends. The ones no matter what.
You know the name.
You saw their story on
You remember the hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shy Life featuring Marshall Thompson.
For over 50 years, the legendary Shy Lights have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds.
And now here's a brand new book
from the only original remaining member of this fabulous group.
The book is entitled Last Man Standing by Marshall Thompson, which chronicles the group's rise to fame with two number one hits and dozens of Billboard top 10 hits.
The Shy Lights were forced to be reckoned with. Last Man Standing is the story of a personal side of a man who sang about love, romance, and dreams. It will have you laughing out loud one moment and tearing at your heartstrings the very next. Last Man Standing by the legendary Marshall Thompson. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and eBooks.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the abrupt ending to the poem. My call dropped. we're dealing with technology. But we're going to play that at the other end of the broadcast. I just want to say that we're so honored to congratulate Dr. Marshall Thompson of the Shy Life, that is the godfather of vocal groups, the Last Man Standing, on his doctorate and his presidential, his honorary doctorate degree and his Presidential Medal of Freedom Award. He is also now celebrating 64 years in show business. And this month, Soul School Music, right here on Tribe Family Channel with Marshall Thompson, will be starting back up season 7. Give him his flowers and tell him congratulations, Godfather, and his residency at the Rio right here in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Duomo Hotel and Casino will be starting back up on February 19th, and we will be definitely there, maybe recording live because we're kicking off a few other things like celebrating Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Kid Creole's birthday. He is from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and we're friends with that group. Now we're returning back to the broadcast and Child Family Channel's Literary Festival 2023, Season 5, Episode 6. I'm Beverly Black, and my guest poet, Hyacinth Black. No relation, however, she's my sister from another, and her book is dropping this year. It is entitled Evolution. Now, Miss Black, we want to pick back up where we dropped off as far as being a village for our children. What type of message through your poetry are you bringing forth for those that are coming after us?
I'm bringing forth knowledge, getting to know yourself, being honest with yourself, growing, not staying stagnated, not just thinking about yourself but helping others. Because I think we have become selfish as a society. And I have to include myself in that because I used to be very selfish and just sort of everything was all about me. So my message is that express yourself. Express how you feel. Impart knowledge on others. Help others along the way. Because somebody will help you along the way. You help others along the way. And you inspire people. You be there for people as much as you can. And just influence the world in a positive way. Since the world, you know, has become so negative in a lot of ways. Like, be the light. Be the light in this darkness. That's the message that I'm trying to impart on children and whoever I can influence.
I really love that because right now we are in a place where it really begs us to be the light in the dark. And we are in dark times, and we have to be one by one, you know, light by light. We have to be the ones that illuminate the truth. And we can do this. Humanity begs for us to do this, and we can do this. Now, getting into more of evolution. Is your book broken up into different subjects, different chapters? Do you want to share any of the poems that we can be looking forward to? But I definitely want to understand the different subject contents that we can look forward to.
This poetry book is going to be versatile because it's going to talk about different experiences, some of my own, some of, you know, things that I've witnessed in life, different lessons that I've learned on God and how he has influenced my life, my path, my journey. It's going to talk about different things, different avenues, different life experiences. You know, that's what it's going to talk about. It's not specifically one thing. It's different aspects of life, different life lessons, different journeys, different hurdles. So that's what it's going to be about. Mm-hmm.
You know, what I'm hearing is that evolution is the full scope. It is the full scope. I don't hear where anything is left out. It's a broad perspective and a full view of your mind's eye and spirit. And so we're in for some real excitement here with evolution coming from Higher Sense Black in 2023, y'all. Y'all ain't ready. They're ready. All right. And they don't even know they're not ready, see, so we're trying to warn them. But what I want to ask you is, do you have anything that you'd like to share with us? Do you want to spit, or should we wait for it? Because either way it goes, we're going to get our fill. I'm first in line for my copy.
Okay. I'll spit something.
We're in for a treat. The mic's all yours.
Okay. This piece is called Powerful Woman that I wrote during Women's History Month, which was last March. Powerful Woman. Without a woman's touch, where would humanity be? This I know for sure, though. We would be doomed indefinitely. Women are all powerful because we inherited it from different previous generations. We must continue the legacy and strength to build powerful nations. A nation of intellectuals, professionals, and artists. We must never forget the women who paved the way. Maya Angelou, Celia Cruz, their legacy still lives on till today. I'm so proud to be a woman. When you see me, you will know. You will see the pain behind my eyes that reflects thousands of others around the world. We stand together in unity as one. We must never forget the struggles that our ancestors have overcome. Discrimination toward women still prevalent as ever, but we are still standing like the Rock of Gibraltar. Our experiences can never be severed. As we laugh and drink and be merry during this month, let's remember the Ukrainian women and give them our overwhelming love. Love is the solution to most of the world's problems. That's why I'm proud to be a woman, because we will be the ones to solve them. Women, let's rejoice and lift our voices with song and dance. Continue to look forward and not live in the past. See, we all have insecurities and issues we must face. Express yourself in unique ways and not look at each other with distaste. Let's come together for Women's History Month and celebrate each other, not belittling each other and hating on one another. So let's enjoy this month and spread positivity and understanding. The world tries to knock us down, but we are still standing.
All right, now, you're right about that. We're still standing. Yes, we are. And this is a wonderful time to continue in the celebration of women, especially when we look at a world where now in different societies, including the United States, women are taking a broader stance. We're filling cabinet positions and seats in high places. We're protesting for our rights in other countries, and we're removing the head coverings, and we're driving and taking jobs and going to school and starting businesses. And so and publishing books and running radio stations, you see. So I really appreciate the book, and, or excuse me, your poem, and the strength and the empowerment and the truth that you are bringing forth. And so I'm really looking forward to my copy. We're going to take one more poetry break and come back with a few more questions or a little more dialogue, whichever we can fit in. This masterpiece is called Truth, and this is the late, great Muhammad Ali.
Yes, I've always been a great admirer of your ability as a poet. Have you had to work hard at it, or is it just sheer genius?
It comes to me. It comes to me naturally. And I do it mainly because of my fights, little simple rhymes. I just wrote a poem the other day entitled Truth. It says, the face of truth is open. The eyes of truth are bright. The lips of truth are ever closed. The head of truth is upright. The breast of truth stands forward. The gaze of truth is straight. Truth has neither fear nor doubt. Truth has patience to wait. The words of truth are touching. The voice of truth is deep. The law of truth is simple. All you sow, you reap. The soul of truth is flaming. The heart of truth is warm. The mind of truth is clear and firm through rain and storm. Facts are only its shadow. Truth stands above all sin. Great be the battle of life. Truth in the end shall win. The image of truth is the cross. Wisdom's message is its rod. The sign of truth is Christ, and the soul of truth is God. Life of truth is eternal. Immortal is its past. Power of truth shall endure. Truth shall hold to the last. That's a masterpiece.
Now, did you...
Now we're back live on Tri-Family Channel's Literary Festival 2023 Season 5, Episode 6. You can listen to the archives of this week-long celebration in the spirit of books, learning, and a love for reading. Our studio is blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. And you can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tribefamilychannel. Again, we are a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. Gumbo for the Soul Publications and Tribe Family Channel are at the home of our parent company, www.gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. We will be dropping our 20th anniversary anthology this February 1st in honor of our anniversary celebrating the book journey from our first anthology, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, to this drop, which bore the title previously, Men and Women of Honor. And so we will be coming forth with both titles, Anniversary and the second in the Women of Honors series. And we're honored that Dave Chappelle's mother, Dr. Yvonne Fion, has penned the foreword. Also out of Gumbo for the Soul Publications, we will be dropping June 1st, Black Music Month. Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, The Last Man Standing of the Shy Lights. The foreword is by Dr. Otis Williams, The Last Man Standing of the Temptations. And we are looking forward to this celebration. These gentlemen have been carrying that torch and bringing us music and dropping hit after hit after hit. The Temptations are still on tour. You can go to their website, I think it's Temptations Official, but if you just, of course, Google The Temptations, their next season starts next Friday, January 13th, 2023 in Beverly Hills. And also, again, Marshall Thompson, The Last Man Standing of the Shy Lights, restarts his residency at the Rio Hotel and Casino inside the Duomo on February 19th. So we hope to see you at any one of these venues, but definitely stay in touch with us via GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. And of course, again, we will be back celebrating the birth of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with my minister and mentor, the Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., leader of the Tougaloo Nine, led, trained, and mentored by the late, great Megger Wiley Evers. And y'all, he's only 85 years young, so y'all better come sit down at his feet and get some of this wisdom. All right, and I'd like to return that to you, Miss Black. I want to know, where can our listeners hook up with you? And do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to offer our audience in conclusion to this phenomenal week-long festival, of which without you we could not have made possible? So we want to thank you and, again, all of our previously mentioned sponsors. It is with much gratitude and appreciation that we have had this week-long celebration. So, Ms. Black, final thoughts, and where can our listeners find you so that they can be reminded of your impending publication, Evolution?
My webpage is still being developed, but it should be finished in 2 weeks. And my last words are to the parents who are having difficulty getting their children to read, just find their interest. Just find just one, even if it's just one thing, to keep them interested in reading, because that's the key. That is going to be the key for the child to excel in reading. And also, you have to sometimes mix learning and play also. It has to be a balance. So those are my last words to the parents.
Well, we certainly want to thank you, and we will definitely be following up on your website, going live, because we are going to blast it out on Tribe via all of our social media platforms. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. We have blogtalkradio.com/GumboForTheSoul. This is episode 6 with Hyacinth Black, and we're going to post our website when it goes live right here on Tribe Family Channel. I want to thank you once again for being our special guest, for closing out this week-long celebration of books, learning, and a love for reading. We here at Tribe Family Channel believe that consistency is also a key to learning. A quiet space, a well-lit area, our devoted attention to our child's education, being in attendance at back-to-school night, even when we have to allow our employers to understand that as parents, we intend to be present, and this is something that we need to bring to the conversation so that we can have a workaround, because employers do not typically make room for you to be a parent. This is something that you have to speak up about. A closed mouth does not get fed. But the one thing about it is that your child will never forget how they felt growing up with your presence or your absence. So it's up to you. I've been both. And so that's why I said, here's our child. Where's the village? And so I'm going to replay Here's Our Child, Where's the Village, because this is a testament of my life. My children weren't always with me, and I wasn't always on the radio, and I made my mistakes. But here I am in my truth, which is what all we have. At the end of the day, our word is our word, our truth is our truth, and it is up to us to walk in it. And believe you me, our children, they aren't gaslit. They will grow up and they will see and know the truth for themselves. And so we can either walk in our full truth and give it to them plain and straight, or we can, you know, BS them until they come and let us know that they're tired of being BS'd by us. And now we can see that we're in a society where these children are not playing, okay? You bring it real or bring it straight. And there's just no other way around it. That's why you see the levels of activism and advocacy coming from our youth, because they are the answer to the next level in our lives, this era coming forth. And so the question will be begged for you at the end of my poem. Here's our child, where's the village? Good night and God bless. Thank you once again, Mr. Black. We will be looking for Evolution dropping this 2023. Be blessed.
Thank you.
And be a blessing. Thank you.
Here's our child, where's the village? The village is the mother who God chose through which to birth to me. The village is the father that planted the seed. The village is you. The village is me. The village is the extended family. Through times when I was too weak to go on, the village was the ones that kept me strong. My mama that fought to keep my kids from being adopted, when she asked friends and family to keep them and they opted. Going to court on their behalf when I couldn't appear. Being there for birthdays and calming their fears. My mama was the village when I was sick and in my disease. When God delivered me, she helped provide for my needs. The village was the man who cared enough to help me. When I got my kids back and tried to be a family. The village is the people who became a part of their lives. They too loved and cared for them and won't be denied. The village is the play cousins, play aunties and friends. The ones no matter what were there to no end. The village holds the key to the whole family. Mentoring, providing after school care, and being a second family. The question is not, here's our child, where's the village? The question is, whose village will you be?
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hart, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke,
The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.